All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar Beis. Adar Beis. Where did it go? Oh, okay. The Schwartzbaum family. In memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir Zichron Livracha, may his neshama and meretz Hashem have an aliyah. Leah's soul in the schus of her daughter Ilana Bas Esther's successful surgery and complete refuah shlema for a safe return of all of our hostages and hatzlacha for all of our soldiers. Maya Hoffman, in memory of her father Reuven Ben Emanuel Zichron Livracha, and in the merit of hatzlacha, health and joy for her entire family. Yoel and Sarah Kelman, in honor of the birth of their son and in memory of Staff Sergeant David Sassoon Hashem Yikom Damo. A late breaking sponsorship as well. There is an anonymous sponsorship in honor of Maish Wertersheim's birthday. Incredible. This is for real. This is not like a Yoni Frager thing. This is it's an anonymous sponsorship in honor of Maish Wertersheim's birthday. And Meretz Hashem, wishing him mazel, bracha, hatzlocha, and simcha, ad mea ve'esim shanim tovos. Beautiful. All right, well, say, let us begin. So we have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is Lamed Vav 36. We are picking up Meretz Hashem on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. I believe at the Gemara. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay, so let's just remember again, we had a very intriguing Mishnah. Dare I say a little bit of a strange Mishnah, where again, so remember again, what was our situation? I went ahead and I rented my cow to Reuven. Reuven then went ahead and lent the cow to Shimon. So then again, what ended up happening? The cow went ahead and died in a normal fashion. So again, the shaila is, so the Mishnah says, that in that case, again, remember, I will say, Mesa Kedark, if an animal dies in a normal way, so a renter is not liable. A renter is not liable, but interestingly enough, a borrower is. So in this case over here, the primary renter, i.e., well, there's only one renter, Reuven, who rented it from me, would be exempt. But interestingly enough, Shimon, who borrowed it from Reuven, would be chayiv. So the Mishnah posits that Reuven swears to me, the person we rented it from, that he wasn't negligent, nothing happened, that he's potter. And then Reuven himself could go and collect the value of the cow from Shimon. That was the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi said, what are you talking about? How could it be that Reuven is permitted to transact business with my cow? Rather, again, Rabbi Yossi said, the cow should just go back to me, to the owner. Okay, so what exactly that means we have to see, but that's our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rabbi Dibar Avna Abaye. Michti, Socher B'mai Kani Lahai Para. So we'll say, in general, how is it that the renter, ultimately, again, acquires this cow? In other words, when you speak about this idea that the renter could potentially go ahead and collect payments from the borrower, how is it that the renter is acquiring the cow? Through a shvua, through swearing, ultimately, again, that he was not negligent. I have a namele maskele socher, or by swearing that it died in the normal fashion. But namele maskele socher, so why don't I, the owner, say to Reuven, the renter, dal ant v'dal shvua sach, you know what, I'm going to get rid of you. I mean, metaphorically, transactionally, right? I'm going to get rid of you. Get rid of your shvua. V'ana mishta'ina dina b'hadi shoa. And since now that there's a borrower involved, right? There's a borrower involved. I'm just going to deal directly with the borrower. Amrlei misar v'socher b'shvua hu dekakanila. Do you think ultimately again that it is the socher? Do you believe that it is the shvua that ultimately gives the socher the rights to the animal? Mishas miso hu dekani. Really, the socher acquires the animal. In other words, what's when we say acquires, in other words, that he acquires ownership and ultimately liability over the animal from the time that it dies. The shvua is really only there in order to calm the balabais, the owner of the animal. Rabbi Zera also brings out a very technical case, which is interesting, but helps to illustrate really the coming points. Pamim shabayli mishalmin kama paros l'socher. So Rabbi Zeir says something very interesting. You could have a situation where, get ready for this, the owner of an animal could end up paying multiple cows, multiple values of a cow, to a renter. You heard that right. The owner could end up paying to the renter. How could that happen? So this is interesting. I will say, a case like this, which is ridiculously convoluted, is only there in order to really establish a technical point. So watch this. Hey, Chidami, what's the case? So agra mine meayomi. So I will say, now watch this. I lend to Reuven a cow for 100 days. Or not lend it. I rent it. See, he's a socher. I rent him a cow for 100 days. Vahadar shayli minei tishin yomin. Then I borrow it back from him. So I'm renting it to Reuven for 100 days. Then I become, the owner, I'm a shoel. I borrow it back for 90 days. Right? Hadar agra minei tamni yomin. Then ultimately, again, I rent it back to him for 80 days. Vahadar shayli minei shivin yomin. And then ultimately, I borrow it back for another 70 days. Okay. And the animal dies within the 70 days of borrowing. So the Gemara says, "Da'akol she'ela u'she'ela mechayiv chadapara." For every period of borrowing, I would be chayiv to the owner one cow. I will say, so therefore again, I, the owner, would be chayiv, technically speaking, to the person who rented it to me. So a different cow for every period of borrowing. I'm the Ravachim did the Ravina. So Ravachim did the Ravina. I don't understand. Michti chada parohi. Aila v'afka. Sorry. Aila v'afka. I'm sorry. Chada parohi. It's one par. So how can you be chayiv multiple cows? It's one cow that's being ping-ponged back and forth transactionally. Aila v'afka. Afka mischiros v'aila l'sheila. It's going back and forth. It goes out of schiros and it goes into sheila. So it goes from a rental to a borrowing. Afka m'sheila v'aila l'schiros. It goes out from sheila, goes into schiros. Amalei, omi isela para bi'ina, dinema lei hachi. And furthermore, again, is the par extent that ultimately we could say this. So mar bar rav ashi amar, ein lo alein ele shtei paros. At most, the liability over here could be for two cows. Chada de sheila, v'chada de schiros. One ultimately liability for the period of she'ela for borrowing, and one for schiros for rental. Zimmer says, shum she'ela achosi, v'shum schiros achosi. So because at the end of the day, even though there are multiple periods of borrowing and multiple periods of rentals, we look at all of the periods under one umbrella of each. Sorry, shum she'ela achosi, v'shum schiros achosi. The she'ela kani lagamri. So again, during the days of She'ela, ultimately this complete ownership of it. And ultimately by Schirus, Avid Beyime Schirusa, the days of the Schirus kind of go forward, and ultimately go back to the owner. So I'll say the point over this was really just Rabbi Zeira, right? Rabbi Zeira? Yeah, Rabbi Zeira. Just trying to show just an interesting technical legal case where you could have one animal that is subject to multiple different relationships, schiros and she'ela. And technically speaking, there is a model where when that animal dies, that can generate multiple levels of liability. Fine. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah. Pamim shishtein b'chatos. Tab of Lamed Vav 36a. Pamim shishtein ba'ashem. Okay, so now just go back to Lamed Hamed Beis for one moment. 35b, just for a moment, just to see that last Rashi. So what are we talking about over here? Pamim shishtein b'chatos. Amas nisin koi. Hasocher v'hashoel. Nishpo'u l'sheker. V'lo kafru mamon. So we'll say, so remember again, in the Mishnah's case, we were talking about an interesting scenario where essentially you have three people involved in a transaction, right? Who are the three people? So me, I'm the owner. I go ahead and I rent it to Reuven, and Reuven then lends it to Shimon. So there is an owner, a socher, a renter, and a shoel, a borrower. So now comes along Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah says that there are times when you have this interesting scenario where you have a socher, a renter, and a shoel, a borrower. I realize what I'm going to do is I actually came across a good table that I'm going to post on the chat that just has the liability for each of these types of of relationships. Shomachinim, Shomer Sachar, Shomachinim, Shomer Sachar, Socher and Shoel. So an unpaid custodian, a paid custodian, a renter and a borrower. All of them have different types of liability. So I'll post it on the chat a little bit later today. So Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Yirmiyah says, there are times where the Socher and the Shoel will be Chayev Echatos, both of them Chayev Echatos, and sometimes Chayev and Asham. Now, let's talk about when are you Chayev Echatos versus when are you Chayev and Asham. So now take a look at that last Rashi Laman Hamid Beis. Rashi says, Pamim Shishtem Bechatos, Amas Nisin Koi, Hasocher Vashoel, Nishpo Ula Sheker, Velo Kafru Mamon, Vahari Hain Bishvuas Bitui, Vikarban Shalo Chatos. So again, the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says like this, that when you have a scenario where people swear, and they swear falsely, but in that swearing falsely, there is no denial of a monetary claim. In other words, we'll say, let me frame it like this. There are two different implications of a false oath. Sometimes a person swears falsely. We would say like a classic case of swearing falsely. Why does a person swear falsely? Why? Why? I'm sorry?
To delay
or to deny, right? In other words, I'm liable to something and I'm swearing that I'm not liable to it, right? So one swear could be, I'm going to pay it, but I'm just delaying it. Or I'm just outright denying it. I don't want to pay the claim. So that's one type. Another type is, I'm just lying. I'm not actually denying money. In other words, the monetary claim is the monetary claim. But halacha l'maaseh, I'm lying about the facts. So just to give you a very simple distinction, we're going to see that when a socher or a shoel lie about the facts, but that lie is not a denial of a monetary claim, you chayv chatas. When your lie and your denial represents the denial of, or so when your lie represents the denial of a monetary claim, you chayv an asham. That's the simple distinction. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, "Pamim shishtein bechatos." There are times where both the socher and the shoel are going to be chayev bechatos, top of lamed bav. Upamim shishtein ba'asham, and there are some times where both are going to be chayev and asham. Take a look at Rashi again. Rashi says, "Shnei ba'asham," top of first Rashi 36a. Im nishpu'u l'sheker v'hayu niskarim b'shvu'asam lahakel pe'ra'od me'alehem kfiras mamon hi zo. So remember, if either the shoel or the socher lied, right? They lied, they swore falsely. And when they swore falsely, they did so in order to exempt themselves from monetary liability. That's called kfiras mamon. They're denying financial liability. The karban shvua shalahem asham ayil ben beis shanim d'chsiv vehevi es ashamo ayil tomim be'arkav. Fine. So once they saw a gun, when they go ahead and they swear falsely, and the swearing falsely is denial of monetary claim, so they're chayv and asham. So Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying like this. Sometimes the shoel and the socher are both going to be chayv v'chatos. Sometimes they're both going to be chayv and asham. Pamim sha'socher b'chatos ha'shol b'asham. Sometimes the socher is going to be chayv v'chatos, and the shoel chayv and asham. Pamim sha'socher b'asham ha'shol b'chatos. Sometimes the socher is going to be chayv and asham, and the shoel b'chatos. Okay, so we'll say, so all the different variations. Okay, said. What are we talking about over here? So here we go. Kfiras mamon asham bitwis fasayim chata. See, the Gemara defines it. When a renter or a shoel, a borrower, swears falsely, but the false oath does not result in the denial of a monetary claim, so it's just a false utterance, then halacha l'maisa, that's a chatos. When the false oath results in the denial of a monetary claim, that's an asham. So now let's go through the cases. So pamim shishtein bechatos. What's a good example where both a socher and a shoel will be chayev achatos? What's an example of that? Kigon shemesa kidarka. Watch this. What we're saying. Let's say the animal died in its normal. Shemesa kidarka means it just died. It just died. Ba'amru ne'ensa. And what happens? The socher and the shoel claimed, you know what? It was an unavoidable circumstance. A hurricane came along, lifted up the cow and killed it, right? So, ones. So we'll say, so now this is an example where both will be chayev achatos. Now we'll say, now why is that? Now listen to this. Socher de ben kach ben kach mifter pater. So we'll say, now remember again, a socher is pater. Whether the animal died kidarka in a normal fashion, or it was ones. So when the Socher lies about what happened, it's interesting, he's just lying, but the lie doesn't create the material benefit for him. So either way, he would have been Pater. So therefore, again, his liability is a Chatos, because the impact of his false oath is that he lied but did not deny monetary claim. Shoel, the Ben Kach or Ben Kach Mechayiv, B'Chatos, same thing with the Shoel. So it's interesting. A Shoel is going to be Chayiv about it. Remember again, a Shoel is Chayiv, a Borrower is Chayiv, whether the animal died because of extenuating circumstances or whether the animal died just in its normal course of action. So interestingly enough, so we'll say this is a case where even though the Socher and the Shoel lied about the circumstances of the animal's death, the lie does not create any type of financial liability difference. The Socher is potter either way and the Shoel is Chayiv either way. In that case, what's your liability? A Chatas. Because remember again, you lied, so you said something false, but your falsehood did not in any way result in any type of material benefit. Therefore, in other words, you're not denying any material, any financial obligation. Okay, case one. Case two. Pam Shishnei Ba'asham. Both say, what would be a case of where both the Socher and the Shoel are Chayv and Asham? Gigon Shenignava. The example of Rabbi Yosai is that they have an animal, right, in their possession, and the animal was stolen. Va'amru Mesa Machmas Malacha. And what was the claim they made? The animal died while performing its normal labor. Okay, so now here we go. In this case, Rabbi Yosai, this would be an exemption. The Tarvayu Kakafri Mamona Daha Mechaibi Vekapachi Nafshayu. So if Rabbi Yosai, this would be a case. Now Mesa Machmas Malacha, when the animal dies doing its normal work, this is a case where both a socher, a renter, and a shoel, a borrower, are potter. Now, remember, both a socher and a shoel are chayiv if the animal is stolen, but both are potter if the animal dies while performing its normal course of work. So in this case over here, the animal died, the animal was stolen, and they claimed the animal died as a result of its work. So we'll say when they make this lie, this is a lie that's what? That potentially saves them from having to pay. So therefore, it's a lie that has a financial benefit. If it's a lie that has a financial benefit, then it is an asham. It is an asham. Good. Next. Socher b'chatas v'shoel b'asham. What's an example where the socher has to bring a chatas and the shoel an asham? Kigon shemesa kidarka. So we'll say it'll be a case where the animal dies of natural causes. Va'amru mesa machmas malacha. And the claim they made was the animal died performing its normal activity. Socher de ben kachu ben kach mifter pater. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, a socher, a renter, is going to be pater in both of those cases. Whether an animal dies of natural causes or an animal dies while doing its work, the socher is pater. So, right? So ben kachu ben kach mifter pater chay b'chata. So in that case, a socher, when he lies, the lie doesn't result in a denial of financial liability. Therefore, the socher will be chayiv v'chatos. Shoel to mechayiv b'mesa kidarka v'kapatre nafshe b'mesa machmas malacha ba'asham. But a shoel who is chayiv when the animal dies of natural causes, right, and he makes the claim that it died while doing its work, he is trying to deny financial liability, and therefore he'll be chayiv in asham. Beautiful. Socher ba'asham v'shoel b'chatos. What's the case of a socher who is chayiv in asham and a shoel b'chatos? Kigon shenignava. Cases where the animal was stolen, and they claim va'amru mesa kidarka, and they say the animal died of natural causes. Socher hu demechayev b'gneiva va'aveda. So a socher is chayev when the animal is stolen or lost. V'kapater nafshei b'mesa kidarka, and the animal exempts itself when it dies in the natural fashion, when it dies in the normal way. So therefore, again, asham shoel de ben kachu ben kach yuvi mechayev. But a shoel who is chayiv regardless, the ben kachu ben kachiv mechayiv bechatos. Ultimately, again, we'll get a chatos. So we'll say, so my kamash v'alan. So we'll say, what is all this teaching us? In other words, it's fascinating. It's fascinating, and certainly, again, what comes out from this, so we'll say, is a very important paradigm and a very important concept. That again, we'll say, this is just good to know because these halachos are like karbanos 101. It's just good to know when do you bring a chatas. So just simply, this is called the chatas for a bitui svasayim, a false utterance. What's the definition of a false utterance? I said something that was a lie, but interestingly enough, the lie didn't financially benefit me in any way. In other words, I lied, but there's no financial benefit. That's a chatas, a lie. whose intended purpose is to create a financial benefit, that's an asham. Okay, so we just plug this into all these different cases. So again, it doesn't seem to be like there's any type of chiddush over here, that there's nothing new. So what are we being taught? Lafuki mit Rabbi Ami. So it comes to the position of Rabbi Ami. What does Rabbi Ami say? The Amar, kol shvosha dayana mashpin osa, ein chayavan aleh mishum shvuas bitui, shenemar o nefesh kisi shava levates bisfasayim, kiti shava me'atzma. Okay, so what's say? Interestingly enough, this comes to a school, the position of Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami holds that the only time you're chayiv a shvu achatas, for what we call a shvu of bitui svasayim, a false utterance, is only when you make the false utterance, is only when you swear falsely of your own volition. But if you're swearing falsely as a result of Beis Din, right, a court case, then you don't bring a chatos. Kamash malon, deloka Rabbi Ami. Therefore, both said, this entire Gemara is coming to teach me that halacha lemaisa, we don't pass like Rabbi Ami. And therefore, again, in all of these cases of the socher and the shoel, if they make a false statement, and that false statement does not deny a monetary claim, but it's just a false statement, even though, again, it's taking place in Beis Din, still chayav achatos. Good. Also, a profound nugget of information. So, halacha lemaisa, that's what we walk away with. Chatos, when you're just making a false oath. Asham, when you're making a false oath, that's also the denial of monetary responsibility. And we paskin, even if you make this false oath, this shvuas bitui, you are going to be chayv the chatos, even if it's happening inside the context of Beis Din. Incredible. Okay, let's go back there. We'll say, now we come to a great sugya. Itmar, shomer shemasar l'shomer. So we'll say, here we go. What happens? I go ahead and I give my object to Reuven to watch it, and Reuven gives it over to Shimon. Now, just to be clear, Reuven never asked me, right? He never got permission. We never had this discussion. So Rabbi Yossi said, now here's the interesting shahada. So Reuven gives over the object to Shimon. Now, Rabbi Yossi, obviously, right? Our case is, we only have a shir, why? Because things go wrong in life. So obviously, if Reuven gives it over to Shimon, nothing happens. Shimon gives it back to Reuven gives it back to me. Shalom Yisrael, okay. Obviously, we know what's going to happen over here. Something goes wrong, right? So I go ahead and I give over my cow to Reuven, and to watch, let's say, and Reuven gives it over to Shimon, and now something happens while it's under Shimon's purview. So what is the halacha? So here we go. Rav Amar Potter, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv. Rav says you're Potter, Rabbi Yochanan says you're Chayiv. Now, we have to significantly define what this is. So what does it mean that Rav says that you're Potter? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Mikoma shahaya niftar im shamra hu atzmo. So we'll say, when we say pato, Rav says it's like this. Shomer shemas l'shomer, when Reuven gives it over to Shimon, so ultimately, Reuven has no greater liability than before he gave it over to Shimon. In other words, we'll say, obviously, Reuven is going to be the guy on the hook, because Reuven is the person with whom I have the relationship. I gave him. But Reuven's liability is capped at the nature of the custodianship that he established with me. So in other words, when Reuven gives it over to Shimon, Reuven is the shomer, Reuven is chayiv. But Reuven's liability doesn't change because he handed it over to another shomer. Okay, that's Rav. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Reuven, once you hand this over to a second party, now your liability dramatically expands. Rashi says over here, afilu ba'onsin, even for extenuating circumstances. So let me frame this a little bit more. Right, I give over my cow to Reuven to watch. Reuven is a shomer chinam. Now as a shomer chinam, right, as an unpaid custodian, really the only thing that Reuven is chayav for is what?
Pshia,
negligence. That's it. Now Reuven decides, you know what, he's busy, he gives it to Shimon to watch. So now, let's just play this out. So now what happens? A hurricane comes, kills the cow. Shaila is, what's Reuven's liability? Rav will say that Reuven's pater. Why? Because again, by giving over to the second Shomer, Reuven maintains same level of liability. Rabbi Yochanan will say absolutely not. Once you go ahead and you give it over to that second shomer, which was not a sanctioned part of this transaction, your liability explodes. Essentially, now you have complete liability. So that now, even when that cow is swept up by a hurricane, which is clearly an ones, Reuven is going to be chayiv. That's our fundamental machlok. It's so fascinating. So here we go. So Rabbi Abaye says like this: Litame derav lomi bay shomer chinim shemasa l'shomer sachar di luye aile l'shmira. So I'm supposed to say, now remember again, according to Rav, who says that you're pater. Now again, I'm supposed to say, I just want to point out, remember that word pater is a little bit misleading, right? So remember, it doesn't mean that Reuven is pater. What it means is Reuven is pater for anything that occurs that is out of the scope of his original custodial relationship, right? Arrangement. That's what it means, pater. So watch this. Rabbi is like this. According to Rav, who says that you're pater, so it goes without saying, if Reuven was a Shomer Chinam, and he handed it over to a Shomer Sachar, da'aluye aile l'shmiraso. So we'll say, so of course, if Reuven gives over to Shimon, and gives it over to Shimon in a higher custodial capacity, then of course Reuven is going to be quote-unquote pater. El afilu Shomer Sachar Shemas l'Shomer Chinam. But even in a case where Reuven was a Shomer Sachar, and he gives it over to Shimon as a Shomer Chinam, he's still only going to have limited liability as he has per his original custodial relationship. Why? My taima to Hamasra the Ben Das. So I will say, Rav's logic is, that as long as Reuven gave it over to Shimon, who is a Bar Das, we'll say, what does a Bar Das mean? Capable. Then halacha l'maisa, there is no reason for the parameters of Reuven's custodial agreement with me to change. That's it. So Marzul, tell me Rabbi Yochanan, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, it says that you're chayiv, right? Rabbi Yochanan holds that once Reuven, the first shomer, gives it over to Shimon, a second shomer, then Reuven's responsibility totally balloons, and now he is responsible for everything. So again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, lo mi bayi shomer sachar shemas l'shomer chinam digaroi gal l'shmirasal. So of course, in a case where Reuven was a shomer sachar and he gives it over to Shimon, who's a shomer chinam, of course Reuven is going to be chayiv, because again, there was a downgrade in custodianship. Ela afilu shomer chinam shemas l'shomer sachar. But even in a case where Reuven is a shomer chinam and he gives it over to a shomer sachar, where again now he's given over to a heightened level of custodial responsibility, Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Reuven is still going to be chayiv. Why? What's the logic? Here we go. So here it is. Da amalei ein ritzoni shiyehei pikdoni biad acher. Because Rabbi say, very simple. I, the owner of the object, can say to Reuven, it's very nice that you're a shomer chinam, right? And you get over to a shomer sachar. But here's the deal. I never authorized that, right? So don't give my stuff to other people. So I will say, it's simple as that. Ein ritzoni shiyehei pikdoni biad acher. Do not give my stuff to other people. That's it. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, Reuven, the moment you're right, I appointed Reuven as the shomer. The moment you go ahead and you give that to someone else is the moment that you assume complete liability for everything that has occurred. You changed the plan, you changed the derech, therefore you assume complete and total responsibility for what happens. Ein resoni shehe pikdoni biadacher. Incredible. So we'll say, let's analyze this. Amar Rav Chista. So this is, I will say, this is one of these, Shomer Shmas L'Shomer is like a big bub metzias, I guess. It's actually very exciting that we're doing this today. Amar Rav Chista, Hadirav, La Beferish, Itmer Ela Mechlala. So I will say, the truth is, Rav's statement about Shomer Shmas L'Shomer Potter, his idea was not stated explicitly, rather it was inferred from the following story. Listen to this story. Tahu Ginoi, T'chol Yoma Hava Mifkidi Marayhu Gaba Dahi Safta. So we'll say they were a group of farmers, and every single day they would deposit their shovel with an old woman, a safta, right, a babi, right? So every day they would deposit their farming utensils with this older woman, this safta. Yom achad afkadino legabi chaminayhu. So we'll say one day, for whatever the reason, I don't know, the safta wasn't home or she was away, they deposited their shovels with one of the members of the chevra. Right, so one of the farmers said that he took responsibility. Okay, that was a great story. Shama kala behilula. So what happened? The farmer is doing his job, watching the shovels, and he hears that there's a party going on. Right, so we'll say, so what happens? V'nafak, azal. So we'll say, he goes out. After all, again, there's a chasana, a shmorgas board, right? So he's like, okay, chaparain over here. So he goes out. And we'll say, obviously, he wants to be responsible. So what does he do? Afkidinu lagabada, he's safta. So he took the shovels, and he gave it to safta. He said, safta, can you watch this for us? Okay. Ada azal va'asa ignav marayu. So we'll say, so what happens? Sure enough, he comes back from the chasana. And what happens? Nebuch, Safta was robbed. The shovels are gone. So we'll say, so b'pashtos, this is a case of Shomer, Shemasa l'Shomer, right? One of the guys is chayav to do it. He gave it over to someone else. So what happens? So asa l'kamei d'Rav, upatre. So they brought this case before Rav, and what happened? Rav said, that halach l'maisi yipater. So I'll say, so again, man d'chaza sabra mishum Shomer, Shemasa l'Shomer, pater. So again, we'll say, if you saw this, he said to himself, oh, Rav holds Shomer Shemasa l'Shomer as Pater. When Shomer A gives over his custodianship to Shomer B, and something happens with Shomer B, Shomer A's liability is capped at whatever his pre-existing custodial liability already was. That's what you would assume. The Gemara says, Velohi. Actually, that's not this case. This case is dramatically different, and it's very intuitive. Elohi, shiny hasam the chol yom of yoma inhu gufayu gaba de yisavta kamaf kedilu. We'll say this is not a fair case. Not a fair case. Why is this not a fair case? Because this is talking about a situation where they hadn't established practice of giving it to Safta. They were already giving it to Safta every single day. So whatever it was, for that reason, that day they didn't give it to Safta. But Lamaisa will say, you can't call this a case of Shomer Shemasra l'Shomer. Why? Because when the farmer who was watching the shovels that day decides he wants to go to the chasana, but is responsible and gives it to Safta, this is not a case of Shomer Shemasa l'Shomer. Why not? Because Lamaisa, he could rightly assume that the chevra would be absolutely fine with giving over the shovels to Safta. Why? Because they did this every day anyway. So the truth is, the Gemara says you can't glean Rav's position from this particular story. Okay, so the Gemara goes weiter. Yosef Rabbi Ami v'ka'amar lo l'hashmaita. So Rabbi Ami was sitting, and he was giving, we'll say first white line on the bottom, and he was giving over this ruling. Now we'll say, which ruling? Of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan was the Rebbe of Rabbi Ami. So therefore, again, what's happening over here is something really interesting. So Rabbi Ami is giving over the teaching of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, in the base medrash. Now again, Rabbi Yochanan holds Shomer Shemasa l'Shomer, Ischayev. So watch this. So Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal brought the kashrut to Rabbi Ami. So again, Rabbi Ami is there in the base medrash saying, Shomer Shemasa l'Shomer Ischayev. That's what my Rabbi says. Okay. So now Rabbi Abba brings a kasha. Hasokar paramecha veravish ila la'achra mesa kidarka. So watch, here's the case. Right, I go ahead and write Ruvain rents a cow for me. And he goes ahead and he lends it to Shimon. So Ruvain's the renter. And then Reuven, of his own volition, lends it to Shimon, umesa kidarka, and now the animal dies in its of natural causes. So what's the halacha? Yeshava. So remember again, a socher is potter. A socher is potter from going from mesa kidarka. So what happens? So umesa kidarka, yeshava hasocher shemesa kidarka. So ultimately, the socher has to swear. So the socher swears that, don't text each other during shiur. Socher swears that it died in its natural way. Vashoel mishalim l'socher. And ultimately, the shoel pays back the socher. All right, so we're going to 1 second over here. So let's get this again. Reuven is the shoel. He borrowed it from me. Sorry. Reuven is the renter. He rents it from me. And then he lends it to Shimon. The animal dies in the natural way. Now, we'll say, so just to be clear, a socher is potter in mesa kidarka, a shoel is chayiv. Okay? So now, what happens in this case over here? So now, Reuven, based on the parameters of his relationship with me, would be potter. Shimon would be chayiv. So what happens over here? Yeshava hasocher shemesa kidarka. So Reuven, the socher, Reuven the renter, swears to me that the animal died in a normal way. Vashoel mishalim the socher. And the shoel pays the socher. So we'll say, this is one of these interesting cases that kind of reflects the Mishnah, which sounds very strange. This is where Rabbi Yossi jumped on. So Rabbi Yossi says, let me get this straight. Reuven's going to make money off my animal. right? So Rabbi Yossi says that doesn't work. But again, let's just go with the case. Vim Isa. Now, again, if you really hold that Shomer Shemas L'Shomer is Chayiv, if you're the other way, Leimalei, Ein Ritzon is Shepik Don B'Yaracher. So I don't understand. Why can't I say to Reuven, Reuven, what are you doing? Reuven, what are you doing? I don't want my object in someone else's hands. Armali Hachamai Askinon, what's the case over here? Kishenastnu lo lahashil, or Rishus Bailam lahashil. The boss said, the case over here is when I rented it to Reuven. I made it clear, Reuven, look, I guess if you want to sublet, right? If you want to go ahead and, that's fine. Okay. Iachi, lebailim baishlame. If that's the case, then I will say, then halacha lemaisa, what should happen? Shimon the borrower, Shimon the shoel, should have to pay me directly. In other words, if I kind of gave permission for this whole transaction, so why can't we say halachically, I have a relationship with Shimon, and he should be chayv to pay me? Da'amru le'daitech. Because what Rashi says, or le'daitech, kirtzonech, im tirtzalash ilalo, yemei schiruseich, ein anu makbidin. So we'll say, because ultimately, since Reuven is doing this with my permission, so therefore it's kind of like almost like his own transaction, and therefore technically speaking, he's going to be pater, but yet the shul would have to pay him. Okay, then we'll say, we're actually not going to accept a case like this, because we get to Rabbi Yossi's objection on the Mishnah, which seems like an unfair enrichment. I don't know if there's a term like that, but an unfair enrichment, like, because here, again, the person who's renting it from me is making money, and yet I, the owner of the object, am walking away with nothing. So that's just, even though technically I could come up with this case, it doesn't seem right. So don't look at this as halacha lemaisa, just interesting steps. Masi Rabbi Rachama, hamafkin ma'os etzel chavero. So let's listen to this interesting case. I deposit money with Reuven. So what happens? Saron v'evshin lachorav. So Reuven takes the money, he puts it in a bundle, and he flings it behind him. And we'll say, I don't know, like you see in the cartoons, like a long time ago, right? He puts something on a stick, like the carpetbaggers. You know, he puts something on a stick, and you put the little load on the back of it. So if you can imagine, again, he takes the money, he wraps it up, and he flings it on his back. So he's carrying it on his back. And we'll say, Masron lebno b'daktanim. Or he goes in and he gives it to his minor children. So like we always say, minor children don't mean children you love less, right? But rather, again, minor children mean children who are not adults. So Masron lebno b'daktanim, v'nal b'fneim shelo kerai. But you don't provide proper shmira. So you gave it to minor kids, and you're not properly watching those kids, chayiv. So we'll say, in all these cases, you're chayiv. We'll say, it's interesting, by the way, just the first case, money, it's considered to be negligent to carry money on your back, right? Because again, which makes it, because why? It could be easily pickpocketed from the back. Interesting. Okay, so in all of these cases, you're chayiv. Why? You did not watch it in an appropriate way. So Gemara says, taima diktanim. Now, interestingly enough, the reason why this is deemed inappropriate is because I gave it to my minor children. Hagidolim pater. They both say, what can you infer from this? That if I gave the money to my adult children, it would be okay. Now, so just to play this out, right? If I deposited money with Reuven then gave that money over to his adult children to go ahead and watch, and let's say some unavoidable mishap occurred, then halacha lemaaseh would be pater. But why is that? Amai neimalei ein ritzoni shiye pikdoni biyad acher. So I will say again, this sounds like this is a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan holds Shomer Shemas L'Shomer is Chayiv. Why? Because the owner could always say, I don't want my stuff in someone else. I deposit it with you. So I don't want it going to someone else. But yet you see over here that technically speaking, as long as Reuven gave it over to someone else who was responsible, he's not going to be Chayiv. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava. So this is actually very interesting. Amar Rava. Rava says, Kala Mafkid. Anytime you deposit something with someone, I'll say, I'm a base. This is fascinating. Al das ishto ubanov hu mafkid. I'll say, it's interesting, right? So it's very interesting. Whenever you give something to someone, there's almost like an automatic assumption that they may share that responsibility with their wife and adult children. Especially, again, if you think about it like this, especially if something is deposited with someone, so it's in their home. So because it's in the home, it makes sense to say that the other adult members of the family would kind of have a shared responsibility together with Reuven. And that's the expectation. So when I deposit something with Reuven, there's almost like an understanding or an expectation that the other members of his household are going to go ahead and participate still in the Shemira of this. Fascinating. Look at Rashi. Tap Rashi 36b, Lamed Vav on base. Al das ishto banav. Al das shanifkad mosro the ishto ubanav hagdolim. Ve'ein yucholim lomar ein ritzoni. There's an understanding. There's an understanding that halacha lemaisa, when you deposit something with someone, that their wife and adult children are going to be participatory in the watching of that object as well. And therefore, you can't claim, I don't want my object in the hands of someone else when it comes again to one's wife or children, adult children. Fascinating. So now Ardoi said, this makes sense as well. Why? Because what do we say? That, remember again, what did the Braises say? If Reuven, the Shomer, gave it over to his children, his minor children, his katan children, he's going to be chayim. Now, what can you infer from that? Ha libno ubito gidolim pater. So you can infer from that is if Reuven gave it over to his adult children, he would be pater. Michlal de la achirim lo shna gidolim velo shna kitanim chayim. That was said. Interestingly enough, we see from here the only distinction between adults and minors is with Reuven's kids. But it seems to be that if Reuven gave it over to anyone else, there would be liability, whether again they're adults or minors. So because if not, listni kitanim stama. It could have just said if Reuven gave it over to any kitanim, he'd be chayiv, or gidolim, he'd be mutter, or he wouldn't be chayiv. But the fact that it makes this distinction to his family indicates to us what? That halacha lemaisa, the only license that Reuven has to give it over to someone else are immediate family members, like his wife and adult children, because there's an unwritten understanding that when you deposit an object with someone, I will say again, I just want to highlight something over here, that this is a case of pikadon. Pikadon means when you're giving over something to someone to watch, not to use, to watch. So there's an understanding over here, the person is going to be guarding it or watching it in their house. A person lives in a house with other people. Reuven can't sit watching over the object 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So it makes sense that other household members may be brought into the fold to help with this. And therefore, again, that's just an understanding of Shmira. Beautiful. Amar Rava, let's see, here we go. Rava says, Hilchasa. What is the halacha? Shomer Shemasra L'Shomer Chayiv. Rava say the halacha is that when one Shomer gives over to another Shomer, ultimately, again, he is going to be Chayiv. Now, Gemara qualifies this. Lo mi bayi Shomer Sachar Shemasra L'Shomer Chinam Digarui Gar L'Shmirasa. Rava say, not only in a case where, let's say, Reuven is a paid custodian who gives it over to an unpaid custodian, that you're going to be Chayiv. That's obvious. Ella afilu Shomer Chinam Shemasra L'Shomer Sachar Chayiv. But even, I will say, even a Shomer Chinam who gives it to a Shomer Sachar. So even if Reuven was an unpaid custodian, and he gives it over to a paid custodian, where you might say to yourself, oh, that's even a higher level of responsibility. Nevertheless, you're going to be chayiv. I will say, now watch this. My taima. Now what's the reason? So I will say, so Rava says like this, My taima, do amr lei, at mehemenes li b'shvua, heich lo mehemen li b'shvua. Now I will say, now watch this. This is actually very interesting. So in general, whenever you give something over to a shomer, so again, I come back and collect the item. The shomer makes a claim about the item. So obviously, as we've seen already from the beginning of the Mishnah, if I'm afkid, so I don't have to take, I can take the shomer at his word or not. There's a mechanism. What's the mechanism called? A shvua. So the shomer has to swear that what he claimed occurred. Now, say, which means something very interesting. That's my insurance policy. That shvua is my insurance policy. And I will say, some people you trust with the shvua, some people you don't trust with the shvua. So obviously, part of my arrangement when I go to Reuven and I enlist Reuven's help, right? He's going to be my shomer, whatever it is, shomer sachar, shomer chinam, shoel socher. It doesn't really matter. Part of the reason why I'm comfortable engaging in this relationship is because I believe that he's not going to swear falsely. So the reason why Shomer, so comes along Rava, and Rava says, the reason why Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer is going to be Chayiv is because I, the owner of the object, could say, Reuven, I believe you. I don't know Shimon. It's not that I don't believe Shimon, or maybe it's just, I know Shimon, that's why I don't believe him. Or maybe I don't know him, But that's also why I don't believe him. So that's why, again, Reuven, when you choose to give this over to another person, you assume complete responsibility. So I'll say, so it's interesting, by the way, because this is different than what we saw before. This is different than what we saw before. Right beforehand, we saw that the logic of Shomer Shemas LeShomer is Ein Ritzoni Shiei Piktoni Biyat Acher. I don't want my object in the hands of someone else. Here we see that it's different. Here we see that Halacha Lamaisa is all about, I don't want my object, sorry, you are believed to me with the Shavua. I believe you when it comes to Shavua Reuven. I don't have any frame of reference for anyone else. So bottom line, on both sides, the Gemara ends off by saying, Shomer, Shemas, the Shomer is going to be Chaya. So we'll say, I want to come back to this in just a moment. I just want to get a little bit further in the Gemara first, then come back just to dwell on this, I think, for important Hashkafic ramification as well. Let's finish up a little bit. Igmar, Pasha, so we'll say, that's what we pass him. Pasha, Rabbi Yochanan, Shomer, Shemas, the Shomer, Chaya. You're a shomer, you give over your custodial responsibility to someone else, suddenly your personal custodial responsibility explodes. And now you are chayiv for everything, even ones. Even ones. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Pasha Bav Yatzali Agam Umesa Kidarka. Yo, watch this. Right? Reuven is watching my object. Reuven is watching my object. And what, I give him my cow. And then what happens? Reuven is negligent. He leaves the barn door open. And what happens? The cow goes out to the marsh. Right, to the agam, to the marsh, and the cow dies of natural causes in the marsh. Okay, so we'll say, see what's happening over here? There's a pshia. I left the barn door open. Right, I'm sorry, Reuven left the barn door open. Reuven is a shomer. So there's a pshia, there's negligence. And the animal goes out somewhere it's not supposed to be, and it dies of that, but it dies of natural causes. Okay, Abaye, so we'll say, what's the halacha over here? So Abaye, Mishum, Duraba Omer Chayiv, so Abaye, name of Rabbah, says, Yechayiv. Yuchayiv. By the way, Rashi says over here, Rashi says, V'yatzali agam, just as important, Rashi says, Shmakom shele mishtameres sham itzal ze'evim, v'lo itzal ganovim. Umiyo lo ochlo lo ze'evim v'lo ganovim. So I'm going to say, now, in general, you don't let your animal wander in the marsh. Why not? Wolves and thieves. So what happened over here? So this is a place of sakana. But yet the animal didn't die of wolves or thieves. What did the animal die of? Old age, right? Natural causes. However that's determined. Right? Natural causes. So what's this? And now, Reuven was poshe, he was negligent, in that he allowed the animal to go to a place where it is in danger, but it didn't die of that danger, it died of natural causes. So what is the halacha? So ultimately Abaye says Chayiv, Rava Mishmei Diraba Amri Potter. Rabba, the name of Rava says that you're Potter. Okay, so let's analyze. Abaye Mishmei Diraba Amri Chayiv. So Abaye says, Yechayiv, why? Kol daino, tilo do'im ki haidat dino, lav dainohu. So Abaye is interesting. So they add in like some fiery rhetoric over here. And Abaye essentially says, if you're a judge and you don't paskin like me, you're not a judge. You're not a judge. In other words, that's a way of saying that this is so clear. This is so clear that ultimately one should be chayiv in this case, that if you don't paskin this way, you literally don't know what you're doing. So the Gemara says, how so? So Lobi by the man number Tchilas Ushiv Sabla Onis Chayiv. Now, let's say, now this is very intriguing. Why? Because this brings us back a little bit. Remember, we had this sugya Tchilas Bepshia V'Sofa Ba'Onis. You do something negligent that results in extenuating circumstances. Shabbos says, Sabai says it goes without saying that if you Tchilas Bepshia V'Sofa Ba'Onis, that's your Chayiv. Why? Because that's this case. I left the barn door open. Reuven left the barn door open. That's what? Pshia. Then it died of natural causes, that is ones. So certainly if you hold Tchilasa v'pshia v'sofa ba'ones, you're going to be chayiv over here. Ela afilu man damar pater. But even if you normally hold that Tchilasa v'pshia v'sofa ba'ones is pater, hacha chayiv. Here you're going to be chayiv. Why? My taima da'aminan havlo da'agma katla. Because Abaye says, by the way, everyone's forgetting, there's another destructive power of the marshes. It's not just thieves, and it's not just wolves. There's like the vapor, marsh vapor. Right? That sounds good, right? Right? Not vaping in the marsh, but marsh vapor. Marsh vapor apparently is detrimental as well. And that's what Abaye says. So really what Abaye is saying is, this is all ones. This is all ones. It's ones that Reuven, you left the door open, and then it ran away to the marsh. All of this is problematic. Okay, so therefore I will say, Abaye is resolute that in this case, you are going to be chayiv, right? Reuven is going to be chayiv for what happened to the cow. Watch this. So Rava Mishrei de Rava Amar. So Rava says the name of Rava, Potter. Right? No, you're Potter in this case. Why? Watch this. And this is called Dinan de Lodon Ki Aidina Lav Dinu. He also delivers the fiery rhetoric. And if you don't hold this way, Mamish, you're not a dying. You're not dying. So you must love me by the man that's class of Shiv Safa Ones Potter, the Potter. So obviously, again, if you hold Tchilas of Shiv Safa Ones, that ultimately, again, any case that starts out with Pshia, left the door open, and ends with Ones, it dies in the marsh, that you're going to be Potter. Certainly be Potter in this case as well. Alafila Mandamar Chayiv. But even if you normally hold Tchilas of Shiv Safa Ones is Chayiv, Hacha Potter. Here you're going to be Potter. My time, what's the reason? Da aminan malach hamoves mali hacha umali hasam. Because Rava say, because listen to this, Rava will say, I don't understand. The animal died of natural causes. It will say, when your number's up, your number's up, right? What does it matter if you're in the barn or you're in the marsh? Obviously, the malach hamoves was coming for this animal. Again, Rava say, this is a case where the animal died of natural causes. So because it dies of natural causes, therefore, halacha l'maisa, Rava will say that you're absolutely potter. And again, the chiddush of Rava is, even if you normally hold tchilasa v'pshia, v'sofa ba'ones is going to be chayiv, in this case over here, you would have to agree that it's potter, because again, this is natural, this is a different kind of case. Malach hamavas, from Rava's view, the result was going to be the same. The animal was going to die of natural causes. What does it matter if it dies here or if it dies in the Agam makes a difference? Therefore, Rabbi Yosef, we are left with this fundamental machlokis, Abayin. Rabbi Yosef, I just want to use the last minute that we have together. So we're going to pause here for today. I just want to share with you what I think is an important hashkafik nekuda for the previous sugya. I just wanted to get a little bit into this sugya. So Rabbi Yosef, so in the previous sugya, we ended off with Shomer Shemasa the Shomer is Chayiv. That's how we paskin. So I'll say, perhaps in this gemara, Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer Chayiv, there is a tremendous limud zchus. Perhaps again, a way to be malamed zchus for Klal Yisrael. And I will say, part of the avoda that we have as Jews is always to go ahead and find something positive about our people and find some way to bring zechuyos to Klal Yisrael, even when sometimes Klal Yisrael doesn't deserve it. This was the famous pastime, right? Rabbi Yitzhak of Berdichev. Zechusa Yagin Alim of the Rebbe was famous for this. He was known as Sanigorin Shal Yisrael. Literally, again, the defender of Klal Yisrael. So perhaps in this Yisod of Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer, there is a piece that we could be Malam Yisrael for Klal Yisrael as well. So Rebbe says, so perhaps the Musar Haskel Shomer Shemasa L'Shomer Chayiv is like this. See, the original custodian over our neshamas is the Ribono Shalom. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shomer for all neshamas. Like the Baal HaTanya says, a neshama is chilek elokami ma'al mamish. It's a spark, it's a piece of the Ribono Shel Olam. He is the Shomer for every neshama. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He's Master the Shomer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives that little spark of himself to each of us. Each of us. He gives me a spark of him, and I'm responsible for that spark. He gives it to the goof, he gives it to the body, he gives it to me, and he brings it down to this world. Shaul says, so then what ends up happening? What's the tragedy of the human condition? The tragedy of the human condition is I take that object, that Shomer number one, I'm Shomer number two. So Shomer number one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives me that beautiful spark, that beautiful neshama, and he gives it to me. And again, what does Shomer number one say to me? What does he say to me? Watch it. Be careful with it. Don't ruin it. Don't mess it up. Keep it beautiful, keep it pure, keep it pristine. And what do I, Shomer number two, do? What do I do? Not exactly that. I mess it up, I tarnish it, it gets bumped, it gets scratched, all these different things. So I will say, so now what happens? Shomer number one, you had something, you had my neshama in Shamayim. And you chose, Shomer number one, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you chose to give it to me. I'm Shomer number two. And you took it out of its natural damasal, of its natural domain, and you put it here in this world. And now it gets all bumped and scratched and ruined and this. So it's easy to point the finger at Shomer number two and say, ah, you're chayiv. So Rabbi say, Baruch Hashem a million times over. How do we pass him? Shomer Shemasa v'Shomer is chayiv. The limud zchus that we have vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you could have kept my neshama with you. You could have kept the neshama in Shamayim. You didn't have to bring it down to this world. You could have kept it. You chose to bring it down. Understand, Shomer Shemasa the Shomer, The first Shomer is always Chayiv. Now, don't bank on this. Don't bank on this. But I really believe in my heart that it is something good to come armed with after 120 when you come to Yeshiva Shalmala, come to the Beis Nishalmala, and there is Din and Cheshbon for everything that we do. I'm not totally excusing my actions, but Baba Metziah, Lamed Vav, Amid Beis, we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, Shomer Shemasa, the Shomer is Chayiv. You could have kept an neshama with you. You could have kept it in Shemaim. It would have been beautiful, pure, and pristine. You made the choice to send it down in this world. Let's at least share the responsibility for what happened over the last 120 years. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Tremendous. We'll pick up the rest of the Bayin Rava tomorrow. Shkoyach.